from this slide, I have two other colleagues who are both pharmacists and actually know what they're talking about, and therefore I was selected to give the talk today. From Alan Miles, who's working at Hopkins, and Hazel Seba from Iowa, who we've already heard about. Every session has to have learning objectives. What I'd like to talk about really is why we got into this work in the first place, and then talk a bit about what we're doing at University of Iowa and Johns Hopkins University, and then really start a bit of a discussion or point to where would we go next in terms of building up some of what we do in some of the curriculum and teaching development. So we've already talked a bit about the problem from the previous speakers. We know that there's that access has changed. There's huge problems with people getting access to quality drugs when they need them. The market has significantly changed over the last few years. Partly it's the new money, global health partnerships change in price from some essential drugs. And we have the problem of, are there the public sector infrastructure to be able to handle this? We also know that the private market has expanded rapidly, and we have large issues of really having large unregulated private markets, and how do you deal with that? Issues of counterfeit drugs, issues of accountability to patients, and we still have huge financial barriers for many, many people around the world, and that's really one of the problems that we're trying to address from a public health perspective. It says here that developed countries have a responsibility to help build this infrastructure. I really think that it's much more in our self-interest. Issues like drug resistance, counterfeit drugs, are really global problems, and they affect us all. There's a reason why we all need to be engaged in this around the world. Yes, of course, there's a humanitarian reason why we want to see other people around the world do better. Better health is important, also from our own self-interest, part of being part of the same community. But it's also these are our markets. These are also our suppliers, our trading partners. We're intimately linked with each other. And so, yes, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to each other, but clearly it's in our self-interest. And interestingly, Keith's team went around to see, well, what is it that's being done in U.S. universities around building skills in pharmaceuticals management, particularly to be able to be relevant for underserved populations? And they found that there was relatively little that was out there. And so part of the solution, I don't think we're grandiose enough to say that this is the solution, but part of the solution is really to build up capacity in U.S. universities in order to work on this. And so they selected one school of public health at Hopkins University and a school of pharmacy at the University of Iowa. These are two very different types of institutions. School of Public Health at Hopkins. Hopkins is basically a research institution. It has a large focus on medicine, public health. It does not have a pharmacy school. The College of Pharmacy at the University of Iowa is part of a large Big Ten land-grant college that has a pharmacy school, but also full public health, medicine, and a full set of undergraduate and graduate programs. So very different types of institutions. Increasingly, they are interested in global health. They have global health in the part of what they're doing in medicine, but the School of Pharmacy hadn't been involved, and the School of Pharmacy hadn't particularly been involved in looking at underserved populations, whereas at Hopkins, international health was really a big part of what we've always been doing, part of our research, part of our training. Mission of what we do is really around underserved populations, but we hadn't been working in pharmaceuticals management. So really a huge gap that was being filled by this. I can also say that, very different culturally. The University of Iowa is a Big Ten school. They have, big sports in basically everything. Hopkins has virtually no sports other than lacrosse. I'm from the Midwest myself, so I see when they have artificial turf on their football field, I know that they're doing that to prevent the fans from grazing at halftime. Hopkins, we'd be lucky if we could put out a place kicker and maybe the medics, but, we would get creamed on a football field. So it's, I think, a good combination, Keith. We wanted students to get excited about this, get involved in career opportunities, and develop materials that would be useful for others. we did this very simple way. We tried to get students sensitized around the problem, basically get students to know about pharmaceuticals issues, get them interested, get them actually learning more about this, building up the cognitive skills through courses, etc., and then building the skills, actually practicing these things through case studies, through applied programs, internship, practicum types of things, and then basically trying to find career opportunities, building in where students can actually go. So let me tell you about what we did at Hopkins. Basically, we tried to get all the students coming into Hopkins who are doing the MPH program, a Master's of Public Health, to know at least about some basic concepts. So we've integrated this into our regular management program, our management courses. We tried to talk about essential drugs part concepts in our international health and our managing health services. We have other times over the last 2 years where we've been introducing it to students with general seminars and special speakers. We've developed labs around pharmaceuticals management, quality improvement. We developed a new course and actually put the course on the open source on the internet, and we'll talk a bit about that. Created some case studies on public health applications and actually had students do case studies. And then in terms of building skills, is they did the case studies, they designed some of them, and here's some of the topics they talked about. But then we had our teams actually try to assess pharmaceutical sector each in a low middle income country. That's what that stands for. And they worked on this in teams. They also took up sort of hot button issues and counterfeit drugs, pool procurement issues and others, and did projects on that. And then what we've done is really try to bring practitioners and together with the students. And try to, largely by bringing lots of people from MSH, from other NGOs, and have them speaking with our students. Many of our students, by the way, are graduate students. They're all people who have had experience in public health, and many of them have been working overseas. In fact, probably a third of them come from overseas and tend to go back. We're a research institution, so we've been getting involved in writing grants around drug markets, access to medicines, transparency in drugs, and providing career guidance. So that's what we did. We did find that we had really high levels of awareness about pharmaceuticals in underserved populations. They did very well in their courses on the skills work. Very happy with the type of work, the level of analysis. And by bringing together students with different levels of experience, they were really quite able to found that working together, they were able to promote each other's learning. Lots of people had experience in different field settings, whether it's projects or coming from hospitals or different clinic situations. We have some people from the hospitals who come over to work who are pharmacists, but for the most part, they're public health practitioners and researchers. And of course, we had really high levels of interest in continuing work. In the first year, well, actually both years, we had almost all of our students expected to continue on work in international public health and to be dealing with pharmaceuticals. Maybe not as their primary interest on pharmaceuticals, but in programs where pharmaceuticals are a big part of what they do. The courses had high ratings. I mean, that's something that's always good. These are a bit of a popularity contest, but as you can see, we had over in terms of course ratings and objectives, they've always been excellent or good, which is, for Hopkins, these are pretty good grades. We had we had 12 students the first year, 25 the next, and plus many that were auditing between 5 and 10 additional students. I said we had an open course where this is available free to anyone on the internet. We keep track of the number of hits, about 400 a month we get. They average about 5 minutes of time, so they're not spending half an hour reading our course, but they're spending five and a half minutes, so we see that this is stable. It's hard actually to track this stuff because for a while we had like tens of thousands because we were attached to some other organization's website, to their bulletins, and anytime someone looked at their bulletin, it looked at a hit. But this is really the ones that were looking at our course. Now, where they come from, I think this is interesting because it's often you can't tell where people come from when they're looking overseas. But for the most part, they're coming from North America and Europe and Latin America. And our biggest target audience are really these here in Africa and Asia, and we're not reaching there by open source yet, but that might be a matter of time and connectivity. Let me now talk about Iowa. They had a somewhat different approach. They started off really by trying to integrate in with the school, the university-wide types of approaches to bring in global health, and they've had a number of seminars across the whole college and across the university, bringing in pharmaceuticals and global health issues. They actually set up a council, an advisory council at the college, and brought in a lot of their alumni who have been working overseas and have been really providing a resource for them by really tapping into their alumni network. So they've done a lot on sensitization. In terms of what they've done on the teaching side, they really developed a number of levels of options for students that they hadn't had previously. In some cases, they've developed elective coursework. They've also developed advanced practice experience, basically practicums. They've integrated into laboratories that they've been doing. This is part of their Iowa Teach. This is a different database. This is really about individual case management for pharmacy work, and they've built in issues of disparity into that. You have to be part of their teaching system to get this, but teachers who are involved in this are able to get access to these cases. And they've also developed a certificate program and also incorporated into their master's program as well, a master's program where their doctor of pharmacy students can actually get into that. And they also had a pharmaceutical management course with the same name as ours. In terms of what they did, you've heard also about their I've mentioned before about their practicum experience. They built on work that their staff were already working on. So they went to Mexico and actually delivered medicines and did some analysis there. They worked with the Center for Pharmaceutical Management for practicums. And here you see a list of some of the types of issues, papers that their students have been working on. Similar to the types of things that we did at Hopkins, but, you know, again, access to pharmaceuticals, privatization, negotiating drug prices, counterfeit drugs, really the type of hot-button issues in terms of access to medicines that we want students to have skills in dealing with us. Career opportunities, again, they have this very nice program of mentors. All the students get mentors, and they've been bringing in their alumni to get access to people who are working overseas. They have a website, again, for that, for linking networking. And they have also tried to bring in guest lecturers from different places, Management Sciences for Health, but also some of the other local type of practitioners to, again, get more exposure to career opportunities. Their results, very good. They were able to get their course materials together. They were able to produce the type of training and speakers. And as a result, they actually have had three students with a dual degree. The course was well attended from across the university, not just pharmacy students. They did have this experiential learning course that actually delivered services, which is always a very useful thing to do. And they have now this cohort of advisors. They also get very good objectives. They have a 7-point scale here, and down there in class you can see the different types of objectives. Very high rating. I understand that these are high ratings at the University of Iowa, so that's always a good thing. What did we find? Well, yes, we can deliver lectures and courses that are well appreciated, and students clearly seem to learn from that. That's always a good thing, and it's something that I think the challenge now is, well, how do we take that further? How do you expand that? One thing that I think was really valuable in these courses, and particularly for Hopkins, where we don't have a lot of exposure to actual practitioners, is that this has been really valued by students in terms of bringing up the value of the coursework. Practicums, again, very useful as well as getting hands-on experience. What I think we need to do is integrate more our teaching with our research. And here we have lots of opportunities. Health system. We have a research consortium now that is going to be looking already at pharmaceuticals markets and how that affects the poor, what can be done about it. We need to we've started, but we really need to be doing more. I think that we found that in University of Iowa in particular, they found it somewhat difficult from a logistics point of view to manage both the global and domestic types of agendas, but quite successful in terms of when you're able to do it. The pharmacy school, apparently the students don't like to write things, so they found a way of overcoming that. Again, a little, I think, quite useful for those that they really are practically oriented in terms of their course. And having some tools to assist with that, they found quite helpful. But basically, trying to bring together different types of teaching experiences has been quite successful in both places, and the question now is how we can expand some of these networks, which is why I was quite excited by what Edmund and Lloyd were saying in terms of the practical work that you're doing and the networks. It's very much in line with the type of research we're doing and where we want to go. In fact, we have networks with, or we have the University of Iowa has a memorandum of understanding with Muhumbili. At Hopkins, we also have one with Muhumbili, as well as with Makerere, as well as with Ibadan in Nigeria, and we're building one with, we're preparing one with Rwanda. We're also working on the issue of access to medicines in the pharmaceutical sector in Bangladesh, India, China, and so I think there's plenty of opportunities where we should be able to pull these together. At both institutions, we've really, at both places, we've really institutionalized the pharmaceuticals management course now, and now the challenge we're trying to do is to build more of the research side. We need to recruit more, and we've started doing some of that work. And at the University of Iowa, they are, again, expanding their practice experience, putting together a curriculum book, and again, expanding their international partnerships. And I look forward to trying to do more of that. Both of our materials are available on the internet. These are the two sites, and I guess Keith said that you can get these slides so that you can download them, and so you can find the site because it's hard to write that out. But so we want to make our materials available, and we want to further extend our collaborations with others. I think in this case, the stimulus for this was by MSH, and it was really quite helpful, again, in terms of the catalytic role in doing what was, what I think both institutions saw was highly needed and a demand, and I think we've got going, and now I think it's sort of the networking.